really eager to do this. We're going to talk some hockey right now, not just hockey, but Tampa Bay Lightning hockey. We are joined by the head coach. Sixth full season with the Lightning. Longest tenured head coach in the NHL. Led Tampa Bay to 4 playoff appearances and an Eastern Conference championship. Importantly, played his college lacrosse at Hofstra. Tampa Bay is in first in the Atlantic. They're at home against Dallas tomorrow. John Cooper is their head coach. He joins us. John, really nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Great, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you, John. So you're coming off a 6-3 win over Calgary last night where Nikita Kucherov had a goal and 3 assists. Let me start there. He's up to 88 points on the season. It leads the league. What is it about him and his game that makes him so special?
Well, first of all, he's got elite talent, and he's I don't know, I don't want to sound cliche-ish or anything like that, but he truly is a guy that sees it. Like, when he's going on a defender, he knows what the defender's going to do before the defender does. And then it translates into his offensive game as well, is he knows where to go and where the plays are going to develop, like 2 or 3 steps ahead. And so when he's doing that, you know, it's called hockey sense. I guess in the circles, and it's off the charts. And so it's like a student in class. There's A students, B students, C students, and unfortunately there's a couple Fs. He's an A-plus student.
John Cooper's joining us. Now, before the game, you talked about wanting to see if your guys could play a disciplined game against the Flames instead of that track meet-style game from the last meeting. What did you make of the way your guys showed up last night?
Well, if you saw the last game, it was one of those, if there was going to be 30 shots in the game, there's going to be 29 goals. And it was just one of those, no attention to detail on the defensive side. And one of the big things for us, we'd gone out west and we'd had a bunch of these kind of 6-5 games. And although entertaining for the fan, you know, on the coaching side of things and how to win in the spring when it really counts, you can't be in all those games all the time. And so big thing for us was, okay, we're going to play against a big offensive team that can score goals. How are we going to handle that? And, you know, a little disappointing. We gave up the third last night on a power play rush, but overall we really limited them. And because of the way we played D, it really actually generated a lot of our offense for us. And, you know, it turns into a 6-3 win.
Tampa Bay Lightning head coach John Cooper is my guest. You mentioned attention to detail. You know, one of the things that seems clear from watching you and the way you've kind of evolved since you got into the league is your attention to detail, how much preparation you put into everything that you do. So how much have you grown and evolved as a coach since when you first entered the NHL?
Oh, wow. A ton. And it's funny. You come into the NHL, you go... You know, I coached high school and junior and 3 years in the American League. And, you know, you're starting to see things again. And then you go in and you're like, okay, I'm ready. I know it all. And the longer I was in the NHL, I found out how actual little I knew. And it's been a constant evolution through the years of trying to get better, trying to challenge myself. I really didn't, you know, look for a lot of outside help when I was coming up. And now, you know, in the 6 years, I hired somebody from the Navy SEALs to come and work with us for the last 2 years so he could challenge myself because, you know, in a lot of areas, you know, coaches coach the players, coaches coach the trainers and everybody, but in reality, who coaches the coach? And so to make myself better, I started to try and bring people in to help me and help guide like leadership and different areas of what I knew. And then the other big thing was, it is a head coach in the NHL. There's so much more than the X's and O's. It's probably, you know, the least amount of, you know, you coach the game, but you need to have, it's pivotal. You have unbelievable assistants. And I think, you know, this, especially this year with the guys we brought in, they've done so much for me. And, you know, I'm the one that, you know, is on the Jim Rome show and people are hearing my voice. But if it was not for my assistants, it wouldn't be this situation. That's how valuable they are. And for me, that's just been a huge learning curve to get, you know, to grow with good people helping you.
John Cooper joining us. John, this is why I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time. There's a lot to unpack. There are a lot of good stuff in there. I love that notion that, yeah, well, who's going to coach the coach? The coach is always bringing people to talk to the players, but who's the one who coaches the coach? There's a fascination. I've got the same thing, John. There's a fascination, I think, with a lot of us about Navy SEALs. And I've known SEALs. I've tried to connect with SEALs. I don't know if you want to protect the confidentiality of that SEAL, but, like, who is that that you deal with? And even if there's not a name, what do you get from that?
Well, believe it or not, what they do is very similar to what we do. It's just the stakes are way higher. And when the other bonus is when you get to watch a war movie, you get to find out actually how much of it's true. But in all seriousness,
right,
it's all about team. And like how they, you know, they have an ethos, and that's well known. You can go on the internet and read that. But how it went from, because in the 90s, or maybe I'm getting the dates wrong, but the Navy SEALs weren't as respected as they are now. And they changed their whole culture. And those guys there, we went out to Coronado last year. We brought our team out there. They were phenomenal. I can't say enough about the discipline, the way these guys train, but how they all do it together. And that's what you have to do as a team. Like when you've got somebody going off the rails a little bit, whatever it is, like you, if you don't reel him in, like you have to move on from him. And sometimes that may be the best player you have. And it's the same in the SEALs. It's all about teamwork and it's all about working together. And they're some of the parts instead of, you know, just somebody being single out there. And that's how I truly believe teams are made. And, you know, in hockey and other sports, it's all about role. And you need to have somebody, yes, you need to have a Kucherov that's going to get you the points. You need to have a Stamkos and a Braden Point. But you need to have, like, the Ryan Callahans of the world, the guys that understand they're going to play 10 minutes, but they're going to give you everything they have. And they understand they're going to sit on the bench, be called on 3 or 4 times in a game. But when they are going to deliver for you. And it's very much of that Navy SEAL attitude, and that's why I respect those guys so much.
We're talking to John Cooper. It's so well said. I mean, it's very clear how you are where you are right now, but not as clear if you don't know the background, John. Now, you grew up in Prince George, British Columbia. You played prep school hockey in Saskatchewan. So how in the world did you get from playing hockey in Western Canada to playing college lacrosse in New York?
Well, it's kind of it's a very complimentary sport. So in Canada, you play box lacrosse, so very similar to hockey rink, 5 guys on the side, and it was really, really big, and that would be the sport I'd play in the spring, play hockey in the winter, and I really went to Notre Dame and Wilcox, Saskatchewan, to go and fulfill my dreams as a hockey player. You leave your town, you're like, you know, the good player in your town, and then when I went there, I found out, oh, wow, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. First time I'd ever been cut from a team when I went there, so it was a big growing experience for me. But I happened to be a pretty good lacrosse player as well. And when I couldn't sustain or get a scholarship for hockey, I turned to lacrosse and doors opened for me there. And I had a wonderful career at Hofstra when I was there. And it was such a great experience playing college sports. And you know, it wasn't hockey, but lacrosse was awesome for me. But hockey was always my true love, and I was always in the background going to go back to it. And I thought when I went to law school, I was going to be an agent. And I dipped my toes in the water a little bit, but I just didn't really like it. And then, you know, if you've read before, I met a judge, and I was trying to get a job in Michigan. And basically, he hired me to be a defender in his court if I coach his kid's high school team. And that's how it all started.
That's incredible. That's the abridged version. That's an amazing thing. You kind of glossed over that. You went to law school in Michigan, and you approached a judge about becoming a public defender. And the judge made you a deal that if you coached his son's hockey team in high school, you could become a public defender. So then you're practicing law and you're coaching hockey. You get an opportunity in the NAHL in Texas, which meant you had to make a decision. You keep working your way up. You get to the AHL, and then you get the call from Steve Yzerman, who offered you the head coaching job at Tampa Bay. What do you remember about that call?
Well, it was, I'll tell you, so the initial call I got from Julian Breezebois, who coincidentally is my general manager now, took over for Steve. They asked me to come interview, and I'm like, holy, this is craziness. So I'd been in Green Bay, and I loved it there, and you know, coaching, like, 100 yards from Lambeau Field. It was awesome. Anyway, I go on the interview because somebody told me, hey, don't burn any bridges. Make sure you go on this. It's good to meet people. So they fly me down there, and I do remember sitting outside Eisenman's office, and there's the little sign that says Steve Yzerman. It's kind of a little nervous inside. And then he lets me in, and there he's standing up, and he's like, hey, John, nice pleasure to meet you. My name's Steve Yzerman. And that was my OS moment where I'm like, yeah, no, I understand who you are. And he was, right. But he was the most humble, nicest guy ever. Like, you know, you're intimidated going in there. And then it just turns out he's like, you know what? He puts his pants on the same way I do. He's just a regular guy that just happens to be one of the best hockey players to ever play. But what was funny about him was his mind. Like he thinks it through, and he was as good a hockey player as he was on the ice. He's just like that off the ice, and it's no coincidence he's been an unreal general manager.
I mean, John, one of the best players ever, and certainly I know you'd agree with this, one of the greatest leaders in any sport, Stevie Yzerman. I got to ask then, John, what's it like to know that you are the longest tenured head coach in the NHL? I mean, this whole journey is so amazing, from Prince George to Hofstra to practicing law to coaching high school hockey to being where you are right now, the longest tenured coach in the NHL. Does it feel absolutely crazy, or does it feel kind of real and normal to you?
Former, a little bit more crazy, because you know, it was this league, it's so hard to get into this league, let alone to stay in it, and you have to have so many things go your way, and you need so many people to help you out, and that's exactly what happened to me. And it was, it's funny, when I was in the American Hockey League, and we had a wonderful run in 2012, and we ended up winning the Calder Cup. So at the time, you know, my name was, quote-unquote, it was kind of hot at the time. And so for me, somebody who didn't play in the NHL, I'm sitting there thinking, well, this is my crack. Like, you don't know how many chances you're going to get in the league. So we'd won the Calder Cup, and I'd interviewed with Washington and Edmonton. And I went to multiple interviews, somewhat confident I might get one of those jobs. But deep down inside, I knew I wasn't ready. But you got it. When the door opens, you got to walk through it. And I didn't get either one of those jobs, and it turned out the next year I went back and worked for Tampa again and the American League. And by the end of the year, that's when I got the call to come to the NHL. And I truly believe if I'd gone to one of those other two places, I may not be in the league still today. I can't say that for sure, but I do know that the fact that I got to stay with Tampa, grow up in the organization with the players I was had, and to have Steve and Julian as my general managers, really made it comforting for me and their belief in me growing up, and I think that's why I'm still here today.
It is an amazing story with an amazing background, John. Like I mentioned, I've been wanting to have this conversation for a long time. I really appreciate you finding time for it, and we had this conversation finally. Really good to have you on the show, John. Thanks so much. Tell me we can do it again soon.
You must be popular, because I got a bunch of text messages from all over the country saying, you're going to Jim Rome show? This is unbelievable. So you're obviously reaching a lot of people.
My man, for you and me both, that's great. That's great. I was getting a lot of texts also from people saying, you got John Cooper on? I do. Great to have you, John. Thanks so much. Let's do it again soon.
All right. See you, Jim.
Well done. God, what a great story. And then there are guys with great stories, but they're not great at telling their great story, and it's not their fault. Not everybody's a natural storyteller. He was great telling a great story.